the last 7 days for us, hopefully, have been an effort in staying committed to avoiding leavening. Now, some of us made it all the way through. Some of us had nutty buddies. I'm not going to divulge who, but it's probably somebody in Oregon that's laughing. And, you know, those types of things happen to us. It's definitely, I'm sure I'm going to reach into my freezer here in the next couple weeks and be like, really? But during this week, I couldn't help but think about how our conversion has to do with commitment. And that is the title of my sermonette, is Commitment. You know, this time that we've had this last week, and including, you know, today being Friday, not a Sabbath, but we're here, is showing God that we are really interested in continuing on this path that we have started down. I'd like to turn to Hosea 6 and verse 6. And I'm going to read this from the Living Bible, because this is an offertory, but I'm trying to take a little bit of a different approach than usual. But we'll get the normal scriptures in there about offerings. So Hosea 6 and verse 6 from the Living Bible says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. Now, I really liked this translation, which is why I chose it. It made me stop and think. How have I gotten to know God better over the last week? Especially, you know, being careful not to partake of any leaven. How does that correlate? You know, sometimes it proves easy for us to avoid leavening. But sometimes it takes work. Because you have to remember the time that you're in. It's, you know, not always something that you remind yourself of during the week. But if you did slip up, don't feel too bad. It happens. But that's what God is trying to get us the point across with these days. You know, really what we should be concerned about is our ongoing relationship with God. I can promise you that any excuses that we come up with as to why our relationship with God isn't what we think it should be or how it could be, then we are robbing ourselves and we are robbing God. Now, Mr. Harris aptly said this morning that scriptures that we need to hear over and over and over again will be brought out. So I'm going to use Malachi 3, and we're going to start in verse 8. And we'll read to verse 18, a little more than he read. Now I'm going to use the King James Version for this one. A little bit of different wordings than the New King James. But the indictment that God has here is very harsh and exacting. It should be mindful to us as we read it. It says, starting in verse 8 of Malachi 3, will a man rob God? Not just a man, but also a woman. It's inferred here. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Yet you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, wherein says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. And then he's talking about the people's words here, and he says, your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, that though upon his name they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serve God and him that serves him not. So we read in Hosea 6 and verse 6 that God doesn't want offerings, yet here in Malachi it says that he does want offerings. Let's read Matthew 9 and verse 13. Christ has a little something to say here. He's quoting Hosea here, but he says in Matthew 9 and verse 13, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I do not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He says, go and learn. It's not that God doesn't want our offerings, because he most certainly does. He tells us that he wants them. But it means nothing to God if we are not learning that mercy is of the utmost importance in our lives. Tithes and offerings to God bring about physical blessings, just like we read. But how much more when we spiritually offer ourselves, our wants and our desires, and work on drawing close to God? Now, why do you think it ends here in Malachi with the warning that God is looking to see who is willing to serve him? Another key point that I wanted to pull out here in Malachi is that it is noted that those who fear God spoke to one another, and they were written in a book. You know, this implies that they didn't forsake the assembling of themselves together. We understand that as the times get closer, the ability to meet together is actually really a gift from God. It's not something that should be taken lightly. Now, there are health issues, understandably, that stop people from attending, or maybe massive amounts of distance from other brethren. But if it's not the case, then we should make every effort to be in services, if possible, so we can be lifting each other up. You know, I remember hearing stories when I was a kid about people in worldwide driving 3 to 4 hours each way just to get to a Sabbath service. And so, brethren, don't let laziness get in the way. Please don't ever think and make the mistake of thinking that gathering together on God's Sabbath day with his people is not important. Let's look at Hebrews 10 and verse 22 to 25. Hebrews 10 and verse 22. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Exhorting one another, encouraging one another, serving one another, laying down our lives for each other. That is what is being talked about here. And as we heard this morning, we should not get discouraged about the size of our groups. You know, Matthew 10 mentions that where there are two or three gathered together, God's Spirit will be there. So again, the key, no matter the size of the group, is to work to encourage each other to carry on. And finally, I'd like to turn to Psalm 40, and beginning in verse 1. I think David aptly sums up all the points that I've been talking about here. Psalm 40 and verse 1, there we are. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. And he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you do not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly indeed. I do not restrain my lips, O Lord. You yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. Brethren, our Christianity is not something that we put on and take off when we leave these doors. It's part of who we are. And hopefully, during this week, we have continued to make this a part of us, to make sure that we are not just going through the motions of not eating unleavened bread, but rather making sure that our metal, while it is tested, will be found worthy when Christ comes.